This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Anthony and Joshua Rubin, who have just come through the Darien Gap. We've taken them from Quito to the Ecuador-Colombia border, from the Colombia border to the launching place for boats, whether they take you to Colombia and you cross at night into Panama, or whether they take you right to Panama. There is a authority when you land in Panama during the day. The authority stamps your documents, if you have any. And now we walk into the Darien Gap. As you begin, Anthony, is there a team leader? Are there recommendations of what to have and when to launch? Are you grouped together with other people? What's it like as you begin?
Great, great questions. My brother could answer that.
All right. So like we said before, we took the Correto route. And the two other routes, so there's three routes in total. There's Acandí, there's Capargana, which are both in Colombia, and then there's Correto. Those two routes, we've talked to the people that took those two, those both don't have anything. You just basically go into the jungle and you're basically all on your own. There's no guides or anything. But the Correto one is a little bit more safe. So you go into this town, Correto, which is basically all huts, and you get there. When we were there, there's probably a couple hundred migrants from all over the world. There's Chinese people, Syrians, Afghans, people from Venezuela, and you're basically grouped with these people. I'm pretty sure it's random. And then one day they decide, all right, we're gonna wake up at 4 a.m. and we're all gonna line up. And then we're going to just start trekking into the jungle. You have some guides that go with each group who are, basically pros at taking the route. But it's a very, dangerous route. You're basically hiking through a mountain of mud, which is basically what it was. Mud's going to get in your shoes. And it's a pretty unforgiving terrain.
Josh, what do the guides look like?
So the town of Correto is basically just like native Panamanians. So they basically, the Guna tribes people. So they pretty much just look like Native Americans, but they speak Spanish. So best way I can describe them.
Do you pay them?
Yeah, we paid them.
We paid them $100 each for entry. And I believe that's the standard fare. I could be wrong about that, but I believe we were charged the same amount that every other alien is charged to enter the jungle, which is $100, and then they wrap a smuggling wristband around you. They wrap a color-coded wristband around you, and ours were pink, but depending on the group that you're in, you have different colors. Some people's were red, some people's were orange, and they split you off into these different groups, maybe about 20 or 30 or 40 or so, depending. For example, there was a group of Afghans, and there was about 30 Afghans. They were in their own group. We were replaced with a group of Chinese that was about maybe 30 or 40 in our group. I didn't count exactly, but we're all given color coded wristbands after you pay. And that identifies what group you're with. And then, what guide you're associated with. And the guide knows who's in his group, depending on the color coded wristband.
Okay. And as you're grouped with different groups, they have different launch points or they all launch together?
No, we're all launched together. Basically, what they do is there was about 400 people, 300 to 400 people in this staging at this town of Correto or village of Correto. They break you off into these different subgroups, each one with their own guides. And then they basically just take you one at a time. So our group went second. The first group, they take, these 30 or 40 people into the jungle. Then the next group, we'd line you up. Okay, everything's ready to go. Cool. Into the jungle. And it's almost just like, one after one after the other, after the other. And I believe that there could be a lot of reasons for that, but one of the reasons is probably just to create some space, because you don't want hundreds of people in the jungle just entering at once. You're going to be stepping all over each other. So they kind of split it up. This group goes, then wait 10 minutes. Then this group goes, then wait 10 minutes.
What's the pace, Anthony?
Just standard walking pace. But then what ends up happening is, you get a couple hours into the thing and people kind of start, going at different paces. Not everybody could keep up with, the group doesn't necessarily stay in sync, because you get people that end up falling behind into other groups. That kind of ended up happening to us, not because we couldn't keep up, but we were stopping and taking photos and trying to wring out our socks. And so we ended up losing our group and, kind of falling behind with others. But you end up, everybody goes to the same place anyway. So it doesn't make a difference.
I was actually watching your pace. I was watching it very closely. And sometimes you were moving pretty fast. And other times I could tell you must have been taking a break or or doing something with your feet, taking care of those feet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were trying to follow Michael Young's advice, which is keep your feet dry. And we realized very quickly into this trek that there's no keeping your feet dry, no matter what kind of footwear you have, unless you're just like full body, kind of like a swamp suit. Maybe you could keep your feet dry, but otherwise there's no keeping your feet dry in that thing. So anyway, we were stopping in the beginning, our feet would get wet and then we'd stop and we'd wring out our socks and try to keep them dry. And then after like 4 hours, we were just like, there's no way that's going to happen. We just went for it.
All right. Does the
those feet are the big killer out there in that jungle is the feet. So sometimes you just have to stop and let your feet dry in the sun. Otherwise the feet kill a lot of people.
Anthony, the route you're taking has been traveled by thousands of people. Can you see trash on the trail? People have left abandoned backpacks, the sort of thing you see in a national park that's been overused.
You can see, oh my God. Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. I'll give you an example. So you trek the first day and then you eventually reach this camp. And when I say camp, like I don't want to, I'm trying to paint a good picture. Like I hate to even call it a camp. It's just a jungle clearing, basically. After 10 hours of trekking, you reach this clearing, which is kind of up in the mountains somewhere, in the middle of the Darien Gap, and it's an open air Darien Gap slum landfill. I don't know. There's no other way to describe it. And you could imagine, right? Like as these people are passing through, as all these caravans of people are passing through every week. You know, everybody just leave. There's a campsite and everybody just leaves their trash at this campsite and they keep going. Another group comes and they drop everything there. It gets covered in mud. They keep going. And so you can imagine after months and years of doing this, it's just a landfill.
Right.
And so that's where we camped the first night. When I said I thought I was going to come out of there with some serious disease, it was I'm not sure there's another place in North America that where humans are actually inhabiting it that is more disgusting than that place. I don't say that lightly. I've been to some seriously disgusting places.
I understand.
It was a combination.
We're looking at tens of thousands of people passing through here. All right. Is the second day the same as the first day? Repeat, rinse, repeat? Any change in the second day?
The second day, we're woken up. We wake up, or they it's about 4 a.m. It's still dark out. They wake you up, and everybody they're just barking. They're just like, let's go, like screaming, like not friendly. They're screaming at you. It's almost like something you'd hear if you were like at a concentration camp or something. I'm not trying to compare this to that, but that's kind of the vibes you get. It's like they're very commanding. It's like everybody get the heck up, like we're moving. And so my brother and I got up. We pack up our tent real quick. And then we kind of went off. We packed our stuff up very quickly while everybody was still like kind of scrambling to get their stuff together. And so we walk off like away from where everybody's staging and kind of walk up this stream a little bit because we just wanted to go to the bathroom and wash up and get fresh before we get going. And so just as we're done doing that, these guys come walking down the trail. And you know, shining up I have my headlamp on, and they come, I'm looking at them, and they're like, turn off your headlamp. We turn it off, and they're shining these lights on us. And it looked as if, I could be wrong, but it looked as if they were looking explicitly for us, because we were the only two white guys on the, like, everybody knew who we were. Everybody knew we were the Americans that were doing this for whatever reason, maybe the YouTubers or whatever they thought of us. And one of these guys was straight up holding a rifle, and they're like, and then we go up to them, and they're like, do not film. Whatever you do, do not film. And then these armed men, the guides, some of them apparently carry pistols in their backpack. I didn't see any of the pistols, but they all told me they carry them in their backpacks. This other guy that's holding a rifle, basically trailing us to this staging area before we start the tracking for the next day. Very serious dudes telling us, like, do not film. And so that was how that second day started. And then, yeah, we began our second day trek.
Were they Panamanians?
These were guides. So what happens is you start off the trek with Guna tribal guides, tribesmen. These are the guides in your first day. Then they take you to the edge of their Guna territory, which basically it meets with the Embera. The Embera, that's another tribe. And then so our guides in the second day were Embera tribes people. And those were our guides that took us then basically to complete our second day trekking.
You're passing from one region to another region. Michael, did the center front know about this? Oh, these gunmen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They get in gunfights out there with them. And the center front, as you and I have spoken before, are very professional, very well trained, and they get out there and go after these people that are killing migrants and raping and whatnot. You know, one team went out there with them. What was it this year? I think like Oscar Blue and Ben Berkwam got into a firefight in the center front, killed one of the. Yeah, it was earlier this year. Killed one of the. I actually helped them on that trip as well. They killed center front, killed one of the rapists and captured, I think, three others. And those three got sentenced, I believe, to 25 years in prison. And they were sentenced like 2 weeks later. It was like quickly.
So center front,
took them off to court and now they're in prison.
Center front knows there are gunmen out there. All right. You're on your second day. You'll finish your third day. How many days until you reach the San Vicente, Anthony?
So San Vicente was a couple days later, but we were out of this Darien Gap caravan trekking the second day. So it was one night and 2 days in the jungle, basically. You pop out of the jungle at the end of the second day. You pop out. It, by the way, the name of the camp, just so you're aware, I'm not even sure that I haven't seen it published anywhere else. As far as the name of the Darien Gap slum landfill we stayed at, it's called Agua Cati. So Agua, the Spanish word for water, and then Cati, C-A-T-I. That's how you spell that. Then we kept going. And then that second day, once you're finally done, you land at this camp called, what is the name of it? Boca, I believe it's called Dos Boca is the name of it. Dos Boca. And you land there, you sleep there, and that's still, it's like, it totally third world. You're pitching a tent underneath these tarps. But it feels incredible. I mean, oh my God, compared to being in the jungle, you feel like you're staying at a 5-star hotel. So then you stay there for a night. Then from there, the next day you get on a piragua, which is just basically like a dugout canoe made from a tree. You get on this piragua and you take it to Cananembrio, which it's an Embera village. You sleep there for a night. Then the next day you get on another piragua and you ride for about 4 hours to this place called Puerto Limon. And then from Puerto Limon, you have a transport truck come and pick you up and you're transported to finally San Vicente, which is on Highway 1. And then you're escorted out of the country.
So you're looking at 4 days. Did you just do 4 days or 5 days out there?
Yeah, 4 days. That's correct. 4 days.
4 days.
To get to San Vicente. Yeah, but it's the Darien Gap. You're just trekking for two.
And the only time you saw weapons was that first morning.
The same guy that was holding the rifle. I saw him. I saw him very very closely into the very very early in the very first day. I'm not sure what his deal was. For some reason, that guy seemed to have started with us, and I didn't actually see him enter the jungle with us, but 2 hours after entering the jungle the first day, there was this dude with a rifle, and he followed us all the way through, basically. I mean, as far, you know, deep into the second day as well. So I'm not sure what his deal was. I assume he's just another guide. I don't know if he was Guna or Embera, or there's also another tribe there called Wunan. So I'm not sure where he fell in there, or if he was maybe none of the above. I'm not too sure what his deal was, but he was an armed man with a rifle, that's for sure.
Hey, important question, John. For Anthony. Anthony, you mentioned that the Syrians broke off at one point and then they magically reappeared at San Vicente.
Correct.
Any ideas what happened?
We don't know. And that's something that we're trying to find out right now. We're in touch with two people. We're in touch with the original Guna guy who helped us out. And then we're also in charge with an Embera guide who we met on the way, who was gave us his number and actually said he wanted to become a journalist. And so we're in touch with him now. We're trying to figure that out. But basically what happened was when we started this off in Querétaro, there was a group of military age Syrian men. And you guys have all seen the video that I put out today of them. And when we entered the jungle, I was a little bit, you know, a little concerned that I was going to run into these guys in the jungle. Mean looking dudes, very serious looking dudes. But as it went, I didn't see them.
The Syrians, you mean?
The Syrians, yeah. Very serious looking dudes. And so as it went, though, I didn't see them in the jungle. And it became clear towards the end of the first day and then certainly the second day where you start to see all the same faces over and over again. It was like the Syrians are not here. I don't know what happened to them. And so then what happened was eventually, you know, on day four, we finally get to San Vicente. And, you know, I'm there. And basically what happens is, that, you know, it's on Highway 1. So there's only – you could either go north or south. So you could either be coming, you know, down from the south to hit it or you could be coming up north way and hit it that way, right? So from Puerto Limon to San Vicente, which is the way we came, that is from south to north. You're traveling north
San Vicente. When I was then there at San Vicente, just kind of just, you know, waiting around all day, kind of talking to these people, we see the Syrians coming from north to south, meaning they had taken a totally different route. So we're not sure what route that is or how that works, but it's clear that there are other routes that these people are taking, you know, aside from the one that we took, which is quite interesting and possibly concerning, because who else is taking those routes?
Anthony and Joshua Rubin from the Darien Gap. Right now they're in Panama. Michael Rubin and Michael Yan is in Belize. We've just heard the details of traveling from anywhere in the world to Quito, Ecuador, to the Colombia border, to the Panama border, through the Darien Gap with armed men who appear in the morning, to the edge of the Pan-American Highway. That is the route that tens of thousands of people from all over the world are taking. In particular, as I've learned from Michael, this year, more Chinese than ever we saw 2 years ago, 21, 1 year ago, 22. Venezuelans, yes, but Chinese with maps, with guides, encouragement on social media. Don't have a solution. There's no payoff here. It's just observation. Gentlemen, thank you very much. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.